Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. This week, bedecked in red, white, and blue. Yes, Barack Obama will be the next incumbent of the West Wing. Thank God, because I, for one, was getting a little tired of Martin Sheen. I mean, seven seasons, come on. We'll be finding out how the web was won. Lewis Hamilton's also been talking to T3 this week. There he goes. Bye. About the most exciting thing that's happened to him in the last few days, the launch of the BlackBerry Storm. We'll tell you how you can get one. And we finally discovered where all our money's gone. That gaming industry has it. All we have in return are these spanking multi-million pound titles. Seems a fair swap. All that and whatever else we pull from our comedy oversized trousers. But who else is wearing the MC Hammer pants? Well, who else but T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Thank you. Stop. It's Duncan time.
Hey. And also Chris time, because Chris Smith is
and
here
Chris
besides
time,
us.
Yeah.
Yay, Chris time.
A very quiet Chris Smith. There we go. Yes. Anyway, Duncan, we'll come back to Chris in a short while when we talk about the storm and also some electioneering. But we can't proceed without first letting you vent your spleen on some minor indignity you've suffered this week. So What is it that's been bursting your bubble these last 7 days?
I'll tell you what's been bursting my bubble these last 7 days. And this actually wasn't a minor indignity. There's a feature built into Apple Mail, I've discovered, which when you I recently changed from Pipex to Gmail, because Pipex sucks a big scrotum. And it's just really so poor. If you're thinking of using Pipex, don't use Pipex. But anyway. Okay. So I deleted the account from Mail, as you
right.
do. And it literally deletes all the emails when you take it off. You turn off the account and the whole lot goes. And I did later find out that it does put up a warning message. You know how you click through warning messages?
Yeah,
that's say, do you
quite,
really want to do this? But
quite
yeah, it normally says, do you really want to do this? And I do really want to do this. But I didn't read the bit underneath where
it said
it will delete all the
mails. So they've irretrievably gone.
About a year and a half's worth of personal correspondence.
Seriously? No, no way to get them back.
Making my penis bigger.
If you know how to rescue Duncan's emails, please email him.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really feel like I've lost anything in particular, because you know who it is. It's not like I've had a big, like, a box of correspondence written on lovely paper that suddenly caught fire. It is a load of, meet you at nine.
I've got all my emails going back years. Years and years. But I tell you what they're good for is, you know, if you wonder, when was it we went to, I don't know, Mallorca and had that rip-roaringly outrageous holiday? You can find the booking. It's brilliant.
I'm usually just happy not knowing, to be honest. Okay. I can barely remember what I did yesterday. So.
Excellent. Okay. Well, well warned.
Use Pipex, or if you want to stop using Pipex, be very careful how you turn off their account.
When you delete it, yes. Now they come, but once every 4 years, and for once. We're not talking about the Olympics. Yes, America elected a new president this week, if you didn't notice. Barack Obama managed 53% of the vote, but more remarkable was his complete mastery of the World Wide Web. We're talking Facebook, MySpace, Flickr, Dig, Twitter, LinkedIn, and now the T3 podcast. Yes, truly, this was the Web 2.0 election.
I think this is the one that might win it for him.
Yes, the T3 podcast. If only it had been broadcast, we'd done this last week.
Could have
been 54%.
Oh, has the election already happened? Oh, yes.
Well, Duncan, I was about to say, have you seen any of this? But you seem so well informed that...
Yeah, no, I did hear there'd been an election. No, because, did you hear Silvio Berlusconi said something like, he's right, very handsome young guy, he's got a good suntan. That's how to suck up to the world's most powerful man, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you then added, can you fetch me a drink, please?
I thought the Russian welcome was the warmest. You know,
yeah, moving their tanks into Poland.
Sort of congratulations. By the way, we're launching a huge missile.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think they launched a missile. But
they're moving their missiles in to counter the missile defense in Poland. And
I know, because they're... Oh, anyway. Won't get onto politics, but yeah, it was. He is very web savvy, but everybody. This is the thing with politics: is everybody keeps saying, "Oh, he's a very young man, isn't he? So he would have Facebook." He's 47.
48.
48. Oh, okay, yeah. I stand corrected. He's not that bloody young. I mean, I'm 36 and I don't have a Facebook profile anymore. So it's like,
Chris, you were up all night watching it, weren't you?
Blatantly was, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, I was too. Duncan, what time did you go to bed?
At 12 o'clock, I couldn't be bothered. I was very tired. I've been working very hard recently. I don't know if you've noticed, but T3 is about three times as fat as it used to be.
Screw T3, okay. Man. This is like history in the making.
Yeah.
No, but he was so obviously... Also, he was going to win, very obviously. So it wasn't like... There
was a wobble early on, and then it lasted about 5 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Like 5 minutes.
He's got like 10 billion friends on Facebook.
That was the election
night
drama. Well, yes, as you speak, getting back to this whole Web 2.0 election business, I checked out Facebook earlier this week. The president-elect of the United States is my friend. These are the circles I'm moving. But I clicked on and installed some app, and about 20 seconds later, it had found a couple of my US mates and popped up saying, "Hey, District of Columbia is one of the most important states for Barack to win. Make sure your friend Laura knows where to vote." I'm like, this is crazy stuff.
Hmm. Well, it's good. It's, you know, web activism is like a growing thing. It's actually a useful use for the internet. I mean, somebody's finally found something that has some kind of social value. And
not
isn't
only
just kind of...
had it looked in my contact list, it knew where they lived and it had ranked them on how important it was for them individually to vote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's pretty clever. It's making use of the technology. It's kind of, it's both, it's impressive and yet at the same time quite kind of dull, but, you know, but that's politics, isn't it? But, you know, it's, and there was, I mean, who's to say it didn't really help, because there, it was a record turnout, wasn't it? And it was
especially
or a record turnout
among,
of newly registered voters.
Absolutely, and among, the youth.
Among the
of
Ute,
America.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Who says the Ute are apathetic and can't be bothered? When they're asked to choose between, you know, sort of reasonably cool, sort of young 48-year-old and somebody who looks like he might keel over at any second, yeah, allowing Cruella De Vil to take over from vice president.
Yes, we can.
Chris, you gave a sort of Nazi-style salute as you said that. That was quite
there was a fist. It was like it was more Jesse Owens style.
Right, got you. Okay. There was something.
I mean, Jesse Owens gave a Black Power salute.
Who was that guy at the Olympics?
At the Olympics.
That was quite a number of years later, and I'm afraid to say I can't remember his name.
Oh, no, it wasn't Jesse Owens.
But it wasn't in like 1936.
No, Jesse Owens was in black and white days, wasn't he? Yeah. Like black and white TV.
So to speak. Anyway, we're getting well off course here. Have you checked out his Flickr stream?
No.
Well, I did.
Good photographs.
His election.
He does photograph pretty well.
His election night album has 32,000 hits, which is, you know, slightly more than my my last holiday album.
although not as many as the thing for unboxing the BlackBerry Storm on T3.com.
Yeah, so, exactly. Well, I do love some of the comments on there. The last photo that's on there is a pretty mundane shot of him and his family climbing some steps behind the stage in Chicago, and there are lots of fawning comments on there. But the very first comment is, it's from a person called "I Love You, Get Away From Me," which rings alarm bells immediately. But it says, "Wonderful angle. The yellow lines really add depth and character to this historic composition." It's so Flickr. Then they're handrails. They're not adding anything. They're just in the way.
You don't know that, Dan. That whoever took that picture may have taken ages setting up the shot.
Shite picture. But you always get ridiculous comments like that on Flickr.
Yeah, amateurs. Oh, I don't know. What do they know?
But yeah, and John McCain, of course, he didn't quite have any of this, really.
I would imagine he doesn't know how to turn on a computer.
Well, he had...
But he could get the people that help him to...
He had Joe the plumber.
Joe, where are you? Where is Joe? Is Joe here with us today? Joe, I thought you were here today.
Or not. You know,
he really does sound like a sort of confused old man. I really like John McCain. I thought he would have made a very good president.
His concession speech was the best speech he'd given throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, he's very good. He's a very graceful loser.
Yes. Still a loser.
Very English.
Yes, yes. Although Barack Obama has some English lineage.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I went to see West Ham.
He's got an illegal aunt as well. That was the late bit of drama with his illegal aunt.
Yes, that was a bit of an uncomfortable moment during the campaign.
I thought it was a great phrase. My illegal aunt has been taken into custody.
I was watching Fox News like a couple of days before the election. It was like, Obama's illegal aunt. Is this going to bring down the world?
Like she's going to blow up or something.
Fox News.
She's illegal because she's radioactive.
Fox News was hilarious on election night. They were just depressed. They got to about 4 o'clock, declared the election, and then went, "So anyway, let's see how the Republicans are doing in the Senate." it was just like everyone else, like historic day for America, you know. And they were pissed, man.
Yeah, sad to see.
They were pissed. In fact, speaking of people who were pissed, did you see the Birmingham Mail? Was it their journalist?
Is he the one who took off all his clothes in a pub?
No, he was. He went over to help out the Obama campaign, and the Birmingham Mail said, "Oh well, since you're there, why don't you be our correspondent?" And which was great, except on election night, he was an Obama party, absolutely pissed out of his head. And some journalist from Sweden was going around sort of blogging the whole thing, video blogging it all. Took a whole, about 2 minutes of this guy ranting to the camera about how he's copied all his stuff from the BBC and he's off his head. And then at the end, there was a very vocal kind of "F you, Birmingham Mail, I'm quitting." And then the next day, there was a little... I don't remember any of this. I was joking when I said I copied this from the BBC and I haven't resigned.
You see, that's the danger of... Because that is the thing about like Obama's web presence is obviously is very, very, you know, managed. And obviously most people don't have that luxury. So that's the bad side of, you know, social networking and blogging and all that sort of thing. Don't get really pissed and quit your job.
Yes, not a good idea.
You know, potentially millions of people.
Yes, Paper Up doesn't do that. No.
I think he's a bit slicker than that.
He really Something would be the first me. Internet president if he did, though.
Ruffle.
Anyway, there was...
Just have a video of him on YouTube going, oh, I'm so pissed off with this job. I thought it would be good.
Although he did look a bit...
Then he shows his arse or whatever. Kiss that, America. I'm off.
There's been a few fake ones. The breakdancing one was my favourite. Did you see that?
Oh, with Ellen?
Where they were all breakdancing.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking
all the candidates.
About
that was very good. Anyway, there was one other area where tech reigned, which was, of course, the election night coverage. Hmm. I've already ascertained, Duncan, you went to bed, but Chris, you went for all this. The BBC's was a bit mundane, actually.
I was so bored of the BBC's coverage, man.
I mean, they've lost Jon Snow and his 3D swingometers, so, you know, that's that, really. But...
that was always a highlight.
Yes, absolutely. It did have some sort of fancy floating touchscreen stuff, but it was dwarfed by the gadgets rolled out by the US network. So
oh, yeah.
Did you, for example, see this?
Walking on the streets outside Wolf, you can feel the intensity, the excitement, the anticipation for what they hope will be a truly historic night.
Jessica Yellen on CNN. Nothing remarkable there, except to say... She was speaking from Grant Park in Chicago, being beamed into the CNN studio in New York as a 3D hologram, Princess Leia.
Like Princess
styling.
Leia.
It actually was.
It was incredible. You've got to check this out on YouTube. This is how they did it.
It's a remarkable setup, if I could tell you about it for a moment. I'm inside a tent in Chicago that's been built. Engineers spent about 3 weeks doing it. There are 35 high-definition cameras ringing me in a ring around me. I'm in the center, and they shoot my body at different angles. And I'm told that transmits what looks like an entire body image back there to New York. These cameras, I'm told, talk to the cameras in New York. So they move, and they know when to move when the cameras in New York move. And it looks a little different from a real person there, but it's pretty remarkable.
It's still Jessica Yellen, and you look like Jessica Yellen. We know you are Jessica Yellen. Let's get back to the important politics of this night. What are they looking for?
No, screw the important
Forget
politics.
Forget the politics.
Do you know what? I was watching that, and I was thinking, oh, man, this is amazing. And I thought, like, they've got these amazing, like, wall-sized plasma TVs, HD screens. Like, why didn't they just solder 36 HD cameras wrapped around it? Why didn't they just have her on the screen? These really nice screens they have.
It didn't add that much, I have to say. I mean, it looked very cool. And what was remarkable was that, as she said, as the cameras in the studio moved, those 35 HD cameras were all kind of calculating, okay, this is the angle we need to shoot her at. So you know, if you think about the maths that went into that, that was just, I mean...
She's obviously a very confident woman being photographed from every single angle. Most women aren't very, and men come to that, aren't very comfortable with that whole... I like the thing about you almost look like a normal person, which I thought, American newsreaders do almost look like a normal person.
Yeah, usually orange.
So no change there, basically.
The thing is about America, though, all the anchors, all the women anchors are really hot. It's not like that woman who presents the horse racing on BBC.
Who looks like a horse. Anyway, moving on. To, that other big event, the launch of the BlackBerry Storm, which was due to land today, and unfortunately it's been delayed a week, so it won't be out to the 14th. But that hasn't stopped Lewis Hamilton having a chat with us on T3.com. You can go on there and read it all. Do you know who was the last person to text him? Well, at the point we gave the interview, I'm sure other people might have done that.
That little goblin man who runs Formula One, was it him?
It was his auntie inviting him round for tea.
Oh. Well, he won't be able to. He lives in Switzerland. So unless she's moved over there for tax purposes as well.
I'm sure he can helicopter over for a rich tea or something.
Tax-free tea.
That's nice.
Well, we don't have the storm with us, but we do have the next best thing, which is Chris Smith.
I'm going to whip up a storm for you guys.
Oh, wow. You've been working on that?
Yeah, that's went in three headlines yesterday.
Excellent. So you have been playing with the storm. You were there yesterday at the launch.
Yep.
Having a tap.
Well, before I tell you about it, I just want to do a Duncan-style rant, right? Press events.
Yep.
When you go to see the launch of a phone or a laptop or anything, they're always in these bloody dark rooms where there's like, and I'm supposed to get good video footage in there. Yesterday it was on like a bus. Like, it was in a bus with tinted windows.
I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, I've been hearing about this.
And our video, like...
I did wonder why it looked like that.
Yeah, it was like... And then we had, like, all sorts of camera problems yesterday, but it worked out in the end. But
you didn't have...
So
you weren't ringed by 35 high-def cameras.
Though. Certainly wasn't. We need three to get ringed by 36 high-def cameras.
Why 36? Why does she need 36? Are you trying to say something about her circumference?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
Blackberry Storm.
So it has just about everything. 3.2 megapixel camera, HSDPA, 3.25-inch touchscreen, yada, yada, yada. But no Wi-Fi. What gives?
Yeah, that's mad.
It does give. But it's purposely... They were saying yesterday it's purposely built for the Vodafone.
For Vodafone to rip Vodafone people off with all their data charges.
Pretty much. It's custom made for Vodafone.
Okay, so well, we'll leave that to one side. What were your thoughts on it, basically, then?
Oh, I really like it. I think it's, you know, it's really, really, really nice handset. It's quite big, but it's not heavy. But the screen is it's fantastic. You know, you can kind of wave around when you're typing a message.
Well, you're going to have to explain it, because I was listening to whatever is, what's his name? I can't remember. The chap from Vodafone yesterday was on 5 Live trying to explain the screen, and he was going, it's very difficult to explain this on radio, blah, 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 blah. So over to you, Chris. Yeah. Explain the screen.
It's not difficult at all. It's like a double press mechanism. So if you were to double click on a on a link to get it to open or whatever, as you used to back in the old days. But you don't have to, you press, no, it's not very easy to explain.
you
kind of press it once to make your selection, and then it's kind of got like a syncing screen where if you press it again, then it makes your selection. So
one tap highlights, second tap the whole screen, you click.
Yeah.
And that's your selection.
So how do you type?
The same way, really.
You have to do a double tap on every single key.
Do you have to
key?
Physically donk the screen down for each time you
press it? It's not a lot of pressure. It's right. just like a regular touch screen press. Okay. But I think on texting, it's a little bit more sensitive. So if you press it once, a decent kind it will type.
So how was typing?
It's not too bad. I got big fingers, so it wasn't
you,
easy.
You loved the Nokia Tube, and so how does this compare?
I did. Well, in terms of being a smartphone, it's obviously much better. It's a lot bigger than the Tube. Screen's bigger too. I don't know. The input methods are both quite unique on it in terms of the way you can input your...
That was Chris scratching his nose.
Sorry, I got a real itchy nose there. But it's a little bit difficult to compare the two because they're aimed at such different markets, I think. I don't think as many people are going to buy the Tube that are going to buy the BlackBerry Storm.
Well, my wife is raving about the Storm. She wants one. She's already put her name
in. It is a nice looking thing. I mean, anybody who's got a BlackBerry through work is going to be praying that their IT department is thinking of a revamp.
Yeah, Vodafone, when they were on this, they were on Wake Up to Money, which is the business program, and they were very quick to reassure people that their IT departments can, you know, restrict it in whatever way they want and all this kind of business. So you may not be able to go on Facebook and etc. I mean, that was I had a sinking feeling when I heard that. Yeah, so get one yourself. Don't wait for your IT department to furnish you with one, I would say. £35 on a two-year contract with 600 minutes and limited text, email and internet, which is quite nice. Or £40 for the 18-month deal. Not too bad.
What do you get for £40?
You get the same, 600 minutes, unlimited text, email, and internet.
Why is it more expensive for 18 months?
Because it's free. I get you. So it's free, £35 if you go for 2 years, free, £40.
Oh, 2 years, sorry. Yeah, exactly. I dozed off because I haven't said anything for ages, so I thought you said 12 months the first time. Yeah, no, well, that's okay. No, that compares pretty favourably.
If you go for one of the cheaper
iPhone,
tariffs, it's £300, which is exceedingly hefty. So that's your
but then room. I mean, £300 for something that may last you for sort of a couple of years is not too bad.
I did promise I'd let people know how you get one of these. I was speaking to Vodafone yesterday because although it is out on the 14th, the website is only promising to get pre-orders to people by the 18th. So what they've told me is that phones will be going out on the 14th and possibly sooner, possibly on the 11th, but they've had so many orders, as they said in PR speak, it may take until the 18th to get to you. So if you really, really want one on launch day, the best bet is to get one in store. I've been assured there will be plenty of stock, but to seal the deal, you can put £20 deposit down now in store and avoid any swampy-style camp out the night before you get your hands on one. Okay?
Sounds okay to me.
Hope that helps. There you go.
I'm sure the listeners will have found that very helpful.
Excellent, excellent. Do let us know how you get on.
Yes.
Now, moving on to games. In the days of the credit crunch, you'd think we were all doomed. But one industry is doing very nicely, thank you, because this year the golden joysticks really were made from gold. Revenue from games, that's software and hardware sales, is expected to overtake sales of music and video combined, making it the biggest UK entertainment industry, and up 42% on the previous year, which is...
Breathe, man.
That's more growth than China, for goodness sake.
Yes, that is very impressive. I'm sure there's bits of those statistics you could point at and say, well, why is hardware included
yes,
in that? And games
yes.
cost
that is very,
four
very
times
true.
As much as CDs yeah. and etc. But, yes, 42% growth is hard to argue with.
To pick up on your pinnickety point, if you look at last year's figures, game software was £1.7 billion, music £1.4 billion, so it's already overtaken music last year,
and
video £2.2 billion. So what they're saying is it probably will overtake video this year, although it's a bit hasty to say software.
Well, that figures software. Because most films that come out do suck. And, you know, there's been a lot of really good games that have come out. And obviously the games are that much more expensive. And it makes perfect sense to me. And also, I mean, we're talking about the credit crunch, but obviously that wasn't really happening over the last year.
That's
it's
true.
Happening now.
It's happening now.
But I don't think you necessarily see a decline in sales. Because
still, right? Yeah, they look pretty happy at those golden joysticks.
It's the very definition of an affordable luxury. Mm. You know, people can't afford to go out and get drunk because, you know, the price of booze is going up, the price of going out in general is going up. Just stay at home. You buy a computer game, okay, it might cost you £40, but you get like dozens, hundreds of hours of pleasure out of it, or at least use. And
not necessarily pleasure, mainly frustration.
Yeah, in my personal case. But yeah, no, that makes it makes full sense to me that gaming would be doing well in the
It's having quite an effect as well. And the amount that's being spent on games development, when you look at Grand Theft Auto 4, which is the most expensive game ever, it has to be said, $100 million to produce, but it's soon to break the $1 billion mark from sales.
I know. I mean, you have to speculate to accumulate, clearly, in that world. And $100 million, okay, that is a hell of a lot, but there are films that cost in that ballpark. They do tend to be films where the budget has run disastrously out of control.
And that very rarely gross $1 billion.
No,
so,
but quite never get anywhere near.
Yeah.
It would be unheard of.
Exactly. So,
Titanic, maybe. That maybe ran to about, at the time it was made, that might have been the equivalent of about $100 million and then grossed. But, yeah.
Yeah, and shops are responding to this. HMV is completely rearranging its store to focus on gaming.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You walk in, there won't be, cutouts of, I don't know, Kylie.
Oh, you're so cutting edge, Dan.
You know, who's riding high in the pop charts?
There'll be no
these
cutouts
days?
Of Dave D, Beaky Mick and Titch, or Dave Clark 5.
Who were you hanging out with the other day, Chris?
Oh, Bullet for My Valentine.
There we go, them. There'll be no cutouts of them.
Yeah. Bullet for My Valentine,
it'll be
Funeral for My Friend. And
It'll be Sonic or someone.
Yes. That's why we get lots of young people listening to this podcast. It's because we're very, we've got our finger on the pulse.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that's just about it, actually. All that's left, Duncan, are your quick-fire responses to this week's last words. JVC's 3D home projector.
Yeah, great. The last you can watch Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the way
finally,
the director intended.
Finally, and Jaws, etc.
Oh, yes.
Leopard robotic office chair.
Yeah, good idea, but can you trust it? A chair that shapes itself to what you think. It could suddenly snap shut it's...
any moment. 3's Facebook mobile, the INQ1.
I don't know what that is. Oh, well, that's pretty obvious what that is. Yes, very useful for people who are on Facebook.
Good. It's going to cost less than £150 is the key point. And Fujitsu's twin-screened Lifebook N7010.
Yeah, sort of nice but pointless. but nice nonetheless.
Yes. That's one with the 4-inch second screen for no particular reason. Well, you scored 2 points better than Chelsea in the Champions League, but worse than an East Coast Republican. That's all from us. Download us every Friday on iTunes. Find all the latest on T3.com and grab a copy of T3 in your local newsagent. I will just sign off very shortly, but before we do...
Yes, we got a chance to win a 42-inch LG TV.
You see, if you just clicked stop then, you would have missed this.
Yeah.
So
that was slick, though. I like the way you rescued that.
Yeah.
You did very, very well indeed. So they're the Scala LG 42LG 6100 is up for grabs with a competition we're doing with LG. You just have to head over to lg.t3.com, answer a very simple question to be in with a chance of winning. So we suggest you do so right now.
Excellent. So world's slimmest TV could be yours. lg.t3.com. Get your inches in. And that's it. Till next week, I've been Dan Mosley, and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.